want to invite you to turn with me to God's Word, whether you're following on the screen or in your own Bibles, to two different passages this morning. The first one is from Matthew chapter 6. Hear the Word of the Lord. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, also as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And then from Luke 11, and we'll stop a little bit earlier than verse 15. "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not in temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. But I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" William Tuninga tells the story of Father Marusa Zarek of Carrot River, Saskatchewan. He'd been fishing for a number of hours one day, and he had been catching nothing. Then he decided one day he was going to pray the Canticle of Mary. It was a prayer which gave thanks to God for all his earthly blessings. It was as he was praying this prayer that he caught a record-setting walleye. 18.8 pounds. Fishermen now started to come to Tobin Lake where he had caught the fish. Business was improving. He now had gotten the name of being called Father Walleye. In fact, people came from all over the place to have him pray. In fact, people even brought their lures to church, hoping that this father would pray over the fish, knowing that next time they went on the lake, they were going to catch a giant fish just like Father Walleye. When you pray, do you ever pray looking at prayer as a ticket to success? Praying to God like he's a genie and that you could pray whatever you want and he's going to give you everything you ever wanted. How do you pray? What role does prayer take in your life? I mean, we pray, don't we? I mean, sometimes you and I pray and we get an answer, and man, we are on the top of the world, and we would go and tell everyone how good God is and how God blesses us. Maybe sometimes we pray and God's saying, wait. And in fact, we would on that end say, are you even listening? Or we pray and we very clearly get a no from God. See, I think there's sometimes a misunderstanding with God, that God is some genie that we can pray to and he's simply there to give us whatever we want, or he's like Santa Claus. But I want you to think about prayer a little bit differently this morning. Prayer is rooted in a deep and abiding relationship with God. In spite of whatever answer God may give to the prayers that you are bringing before the throne room of heaven this morning, I love the question. Lord, will you teach us to pray? I think the question really from the disciples is what we want is, Lord, teach me to pray. That I have such a deep and abiding trust that no matter what happens in life, no matter what answers come along, that I can simply trust you. You see, prayer says a lot about how we view God. Prayer says a lot about what we believe about God. Just like how you spend your time says what's valuable about you. Just like how you spend your money says what's important to you. How you and I pray is a very clear statement of how we view God and what God means to us. Lord, would you teach us to pray? It's quite a profound request, isn't it, from the disciples? Let me ask you some questions this morning. How often do you pray? When you pray, do you pray for a minute? Maybe 5 minutes, maybe half an hour. What do you pray about? I suspect most of us would say that we feel inadequate in our prayer life. In fact, many of us would even simply say this morning, you know what? I just don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. The way Jesus was praying, I want that. I want to be able to pray like that. I want to pray with such faith and trust that in the midst of what I'm going through this morning, that that relationship with God is so close and so tight that I just can't help but want to pray. One day, Jesus went out to pray. And Jesus came back and one of his disciples had the wisdom enough to simply say, you know what? Would you teach us to pray? How else are they going to learn to pray unless somebody teaches them? I suspect these guys weren't known for their prayer life. I mean, can you tell me a place in Scripture where it said the disciples went and they continually prayed and they prayed in faith? I can't find it, and yet these are the guys who led and built the church, and yet Jesus seemed to be praying all the time. I think of when he prayed in the garden. I think of Mark 1, where it says, very early in the morning, it was dark, Jesus got up and he left a solitary place when he prayed. Jesus often, after a hard day of ministry, would send the disciples to the other side of town or the lake or the river, and he would simply go and meet with his Father. What had they seen? What had the disciples seen in Jesus that they would ask him to pray? I don't suspect it was his words. I don't suspect it was how often he prayed. I suspect they asked Jesus to teach him to pray like he prayed because they saw the authenticity. They saw the relationship. They saw the bond between the Father and the Son. And they simply wanted that intimacy in that life that came from a relationship. I think of it this way. came across in one of the articles I was reading and said, suppose you sent your child, your grandchild, or maybe your spouse went, and they went on a mission trip to the African jungle. And they were in the middle of nowhere. They were told not to take their cell phone because they were useless, and nobody had cell phones out that way anyways. But halfway through your trip, you get an email from the leader of the trip that you could expect a phone call on Saturday between 12 and 4. And you have not heard how your relative is doing for days. How many of you would cancel all of your plans to be ready to hear how they're doing? How many would cancel your plans to be able to speak to your loved one? You see, this is what we're getting at here, is although there was no sense of communication, there was going to be a way from you to be able to hear from your loved one. And now the Father and the Son were separated because the Father was in heaven, Jesus had come to earth, and that intimacy that they had in heaven was now separated by distance, and they wanted to commune together, they wanted to be in relation together. It was so important for the Father and the Son to be united that they would spend as much time as they possibly could together. Just like I suspect each of us would give up whatever it was to be able to speak to our loved one. Lord, teach us to pray. Did you notice something about the Lord's Prayer that you've not ever thought of before? It's this. Is there is a connection between the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. You remember the Ten Commandments starts off with saying something about God and then about our relationship with one another. Ten Commandments talks about having no idols, not misusing the name of the Lord, keeping the Sabbath, and then it goes into our daily relationship and with each other about not killing, not stealing, not bearing false witness. And the Lord's Prayer also begins with God, begins with our Father who is in heaven. We pray that his name would be hallowed. We pray for his kingdom to come. And then we begin to speak into the relationships that we have one another. Now, here's why that's important. Because you've heard it said before. But now, Matthew says, but now I say unto you. You see, what he's saying to us is I want to move from the law, the regulations, and I'll explain why this ties in a second. And I want you to move to the heart. I want you to move into a relationship. I want you to pray because you want to. I want you to pray because you want to have a relationship with me. Lord, teach us to pray. The first thing we need to be reminded about, I believe, in the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus expected his disciples to pray. You'll remember that the good Jews went and they would pray three times a day. You can recall in the book of Acts, Peter and John going to pray. Devout Jewish men would pray at 9, would pray at noon, would pray at 3 o'clock. Remember how Daniel did that? And he would go up into his room and he would face Jerusalem and he would pray. But here's the problem. I think what happens is, as we continue to pray, it can very easily become a ritual, something that we just simply do. And looking to how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, it brings us to the place of a deep and abiding relationship. It moves us beyond ritual to something that is life-giving, transformational, and inspiring. Lord, teach us to pray. If you're at all like me, you've had those moments in life where you could sit down and you could pray and you could pray and you could pray, but then life gets busy. You maybe don't get the answers you want and the routine begins to fall out of place and before you know it, you're not praying at all. How do you keep that from happening? See, that's where I think that discipline that our Jewish forefathers understood was just so important. It's the discipline of keep on praying, to keep on trusting even when you and I don't see and you and I don't understand. Jesus wants you and I to have the discipline of prayer in our lives. This, the second thing, I think, when he says, Lord, teach us to pray, is something that he doesn't want us to do. And then he says, and here's what I want you to do. He says, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites. Now, how do the hypocrites pray? Well, he says, I don't want you to pray like this. I don't want you to go into the city streets, and I don't want you to raise your hands and publicly go on and on and on and pray so loud that all of the attention is on you, that it's all about you rather than on God, that it's all about you putting on a show rather than communing on God. So as he's telling these deep religious people who are out there thinking they're being pious but are really putting on a show, he says, I want you to pray, but I want you to go to your room. I want you to close the door, and I want to talk. You see, God wants to meet you and I. And as you and I go away to a quiet place, you and I are able to break away from the busyness of life. You and I are ready and able to step aside from all the noise that surrounds us. Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to hear what's on your heart. And God wants to speak into your story this morning. So he says, I want you to pray. I want you to keep on praying even when you don't know how to pray. And go away and simply be able to say that you and I had a time to meet. But then Jesus teaches us how to pray. He says this, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I love how our passages speak of this. They speak about the goodness. They speak about the love. They speak about a Father who loves you so much. A Father who loves to give you good and perfect gifts. A Father who cherishes you more than you could ever imagine. And as we talked a little bit about what's going to happen at the March or the Vacation Bible Camp, is that you are special to God. And he loves you. This morning, as you learn how to pray, and maybe you don't know how to pray, this prayer brings your faith to life. As you come to pray, you acknowledge a God who says that you are loved, that you are good, that you are holy, a God who thinks that you are so worth meeting with that he would teach you to pray. Lord, may your kingdom come. I think we pray this prayer, and how many times can we just whip through this prayer and it can become ritual rather than seeing how it's actually a life-giving prayer. Have you ever thought about it when you say, Lord, may your kingdom come? What you're really praying? You're praying for the culmination of the good news of the gospel to come alive. You're praying that people would hear the story of the good news of the gospel, of the risen and ascended Christ who poured out his spirit, and that they would come to faith. When you pray for the kingdom come, you're praying for your participation in the gospel. You're praying for us as the church to be the representatives of Christ, of loving the poor, of caring for the needy and the hungry. You're praying that we would be the representatives of Christ, and we would go into the world and tell the good news of the gospel so that all men, women, and children of every tribe, nation, and tongue would be able to hear the life-changing story of the gospel. When you pray that part of the prayer, you're praying for your part of the story. I think this is the hardest part, because we come to God and we present our requests. But do we have such absolute faith and trust in God that we can pray, may your will be done? That really is a prayer of faith, isn't it? A prayer of relationship, a prayer of trust. Whether it's about our schooling, whether it's about our health, whether it's about work, whatever it's about, that Lord, this is our desire. Lord, I need you to respond. But if this is not in your will, help me to trust you so absolutely, because I know that you only give good gifts to your children. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What a prayer that we trust God to provide for everything that we truly need in life. And then we pray, Lord, forgive us our sin or our debts or our trespasses, however you were brought up learning it, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. Because we begin to realize when we pray this, that we have been forgiven a great and insurmountable debt by a good and a loving God. And he simply says, as far as depends upon you, be able to forgive. And then he says, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because if you're at all like me, we need to present ourselves before this good and loving and gracious Father who longs to give good gifts, realizing how easy it is to doubt, how easy it is to give in temptation, how easy it is to walk away. And he says, I want you to pray this because I will give you whatever you need to stand in the midst. And you can be victorious because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. If you don't know how to pray, why not pray the Lord's Prayer? If you know how to pray, why not pray the Lord's Prayer? Because it speaks into every area of our story. And it's not some vain repetition or babble, but it's a prayer of faith and absolute trust in God. Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. This morning, I suspect some of us still wonder, how do you pray? Why not begin this morning with the Lord's Prayer? And pray it in faith and in trust, knowing that God will come and God will meet you. And as you pray this prayer, God will bring other parts of prayer into your life that will be life-giving, and your relationship with God will grow, and you and I can learn to be more dependent on God. You have no idea how much your relationship with God means to him. He longs to meet with you this morning, and he simply says to you and I this morning, do you want to come and meet me? Because I want to meet you. Would you pray with me the Lord's Prayer, and then I'll conclude with some other things. Let's say it together. And Lord, we thank you that you have taught us to pray. And Lord, we thank you that you long to meet each of us this morning. This morning, Lord, we want to give you thanks for your goodness, for your blessing, for your provision. We want to give you thanks for the freedom that we have in this country. We want to give you thanks for Mark and Amanda, Lord, and for the vows that they could exchange yesterday. And we thank you that you were such a huge part of their day yesterday. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless them with a long and a healthy marriage. Lord, we thank you that you long to speak into our stories. And this morning, Lord, there are those of us who are on the mountaintop of our prayer lives. And for that, I want to give thanks. But Lord, there are others of us this morning where we're going, when are you going to show up, God? Would you speak into that story as well? That there would be little signs and glimmers of you being at work. And that we would be able to such have absolute trust in faith, knowing that you only long for things that are good for us, that will make us holy, that will make us more dependent upon you. Would you keep us coming to our knees, Lord, in faith and trust, knowing that you will answer in your time and your way. And Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity to live that out in the everyday part of our life. Lord, we want to think about Phil and Janetta in Tanzania, Lord, and their work in healthcare and agriculture. We want to pray for the African Inland Church there, Lord, that you would use them to profoundly impact that part of the world with the good news of the gospel. We want to give you thanks for the ministries that are happening here, Lord, and as we have a celebration here tomorrow night with a meal, Lord, that it would indeed be a celebration of what you have done in this coming year. And Lord, we ask you to watch over us in such a way that we would want that relationship that Jesus had with his Father. And that, Lord, when we don't know how, when we don't have the words to pray, that we would simply pray the prayer that we have just prayed. Lord, thank you for teaching us how to pray. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this community of faith to which we can journey with. In your name we pray. Amen.